This first prayer request is for Sherry Hensley's sister, Jeannie Matlock, who has been transferred to a hospital in Dallas. She has a brain tumor. And then we want to pray for the family of Vita Rae Smith, who passed to her heavenly home Saturday. Vita Rae was a teacher in Raiden, Oklahoma for years and years and years, and there was a lot of things posted this weekend on Facebook about her. And then we've been asked to pray for Gary Fowler, who will have surgery today to remove a malignant tumor from his jaw. He's at OU Medical Center, and he's the brother of Karen Creech, which is one of our good friends in Cheyenne.
Okay. Well, you haven't named anything that scared God.
No.
You haven't named anything that surprised him. You've named some things here that we need to stand on his word about. And I can only imagine how scary it is for the one having surgery, you know, because he's going to ask all kinds of questions. You know, are they going to get it all? What have I got to face? What my future look like? What's God going to do? Is this going to take my life? What off? And those are the times that we have to hunker close, and those are the times you're doing just what you're doing now. Put it on our power and say, okay, folks, join us in prayer. Let's use our faith. Mm-hmm. Let's use our faith. We were praying for someone that had tumors last week, and a guy came with a report that the guy we were praying for, the tumors are gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm next, Lord. I'm, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. God answers prayer. And sometimes we just say, sometimes it's so easy, and then other times we have to just keep standing. So we're gonna pray here. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and pray. Lord, it helps us so much, God, when we don't know what to do. When we're faced with situations we don't know how to touch, God. So I come and I pray, God. I pray for the one that's having, read this. This is.
Right, it's Jeannie Matlock, and she has a tumor on her brain.
Has a tumor on her brain, okay. All right, all right. So we pray for Jeannie Matlock, God, today. Only you know the full details of this, for you can see inside. And I ask, God, that the surgeon's hands, God, will get every bit of this. I ask, God, for complete recovery. I ask that you go, Lord, into her body and that you heal her. I ask also that you calm her spirit, that you give her peace, that you help her to know, God, that you're in control. We ask for a divine miracle for her, God. We ask that you will turn darkness to light. We ask you turn fear to peace, that you will just turn this whole situation around and save her and bless her and help her and keep her life, God. Give her more years to live. Pray for the family, God, of Velda Rae Smith, God, that you will minister to that family, that you will help them, that you will comfort them, that they will turn to you. This will be a time of drawing close to each other and close to God. Just do a work in them, God, as they walk through the celebration service or whatever they're doing. God, help them. May all confusion go from the family. May there be peace and harmony, God, and ministry, we pray. God, I pray for Gary Fowler. He'll face this surgery today. Looks like maybe to remove that malignant tumor. And God, I just pray for peace for him and that you'll take all fear from him and that the surgeons will know just what to do, that you'll save, God, his face, that he won't be marred and scarred. And God, that they will get all of it, Lord, and that it will heal up and this too will pass, that he will be healed. We just give you praise and thanks, God, for divine intervention in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now let's hear from some of our sponsors that have been so faithful to sponsor this program, making it able for us to be on the air on Facebook for some 14, 15 years now. Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City is led by Apostle Casey Elliott. They have Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning, church at 11, and then church again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. They also have a prayer service on Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock, and then on Thursday evening they have Bible study. Joshua's Crossing Ministries right here in the Promise Center, 321 North Main, is such a fabulous place. Les and Donna committed this place to the Lord years ago, that it could be used to honor God. And we would just ask you to continue to lift Les up as he's working his way through the loss of Donna. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors. Grants Auction Realty is our Facebook sponsor today.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
Love your ride today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. For the next 2 weeks, we're celebrating the love of all Ford SUVs, Broncos, Edges, and Expeditions, all in stock and as low as 0% for 60 months plus customer cash, and new units arriving daily. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
Edge SEL stock number T162297, Expedition Limited stock number T60138, Bronco Sports stock number T16308, WAC through Ford Credit Financing, 0% APR for 60 months at $1,667 per month per $1,000 financed. Exclusions apply. See dealer for details.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Our guest today, Sister Judy Gifford, and our Facebook sponsor, Grants Auction Realty. Sister Judy has been talking about something that we all need to deal with, or that we all do deal with every day, overcoming. Mm-hmm. How do we overcome? Well, you've hit the nail on the head many times. Go to God. Believe what God says. Believe that. Get it in you. You were talking about writing on, you call them 5x3 cards. I call them 3x5 cards.
Okay.
And I used to tape them on the steering wheel of my pickup because I could see them there as I drove down the road and memorize scriptures.
Right.
Now we do have the cell phone, but I think writing on a 3x5 card.
That's intentional.
Well, writing on a 3x5 index card is intentional. Plus, you can put it someplace more easily than having to pick your phone up, especially if you're driving.
That's true. There's a scripture that says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's sent to try your faith." I don't like having my faith tried. I really don't. But guess what? It happens to all of us. Just when we get everything just going just good, you know, and the anointing's there, God's good, we have a great victory, watch it after great victories. Because there's going to be a whammy somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what? Because the enemy's mad because you had a great victory. So guess what Elijah did? Elijah won on the fire fell. All those people all day, you know, cried out. And he said, "Let's see who's God. We're going to see." And they made two altars. And whoever God comes down and starts a fire here, it consumes the sacrifice. So apparently they had a, you know, sacrifice there. Those people all day yelled and hollered and screamed and cut themselves and did all kinds of things. And he'd mock them. He'd say, "Well, maybe he's on vacation. Call louder." Mm-hmm. And all day long he mocked. "Oh, maybe he went to the bathroom to relieve himself. Well, he'll be back. Just call louder," you know. And they were to the point of a frenzy. And then their time was over. And he said, "Okay, God, it's me and you." And he prayed, he built the altar of God and got the wood. And then they went just to prove a point and got water and poured water all over it. And even to the point, there's a trench and their water that was in that trench. And then he said, "God, all these thousands of people here, show them," because they'd come for a showdown, because Baal worship had been prevalent because of Jezebel and Ahab. And they'd spread it all through Israel, and God was sick of it, and he had Elijah stand here and show the people who's God. Let's see who's God here. Who is real? Who can consume the sacrifice? And he stood there in that moment, and he called on God by a little small prayer, and fire came down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice, licked up everything there, even the water in the trench. The fire Got it. And then he's, and the people are going, whoa. God is God. God of Israel. He's our God. Oh, God, forgive us the bow of the knee. Oh, God. And then he said, looked at the men. I don't know if it was the army or who. And he said, okay, the prophets of Baal, all 400 of you, or 450, however there was, take them down by the brook. This is their last day. And they killed 450 prophets of Baal. It was a dangerous thing back then to be out of pocket. Anyway, and so then there had been no rain for 3 years because of the sin. And he told them, there'll be no, he told Ahab 3 years before, there'll be no rain except at my word. And so they were pretty cotton picking mad at him because you know what happens when there's 3 years of no rain. Mm-hmm. So what he did is he then went, after we killed the prophets, he went before God and he told us, and he began to pray, God, send the rain. It wasn't like he could just wiggle his nose, now there's rain. No, God don't work that way. He answers prayer. So what did Elijah do, even though he knew at his word? Our words are important. But he said, oh, God, show yourself God again, God. Give us rain. He prayed. I don't know the prayer he prayed. I don't think that prayer is recorded. But he prayed. And seven times they went back. And the servant said, there's nothing. Don't you know it's hard sometimes to continue steadfast until we see it? Seven times he said, go see if there's a cloud yet. Go see if there's a cloud yet. He prayed again. The seventh time, the servant came back and said, well, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, prepare, we're getting ready to have a gully worship. Uh-huh. And so he said, go tell Ahab he better get out of here. There's going to be too much mud to get his chariots out. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him so mightily that he outran the horses. Uh-huh. Elijah girded up his garments around his, you know, his waist, pulled them up, probably at least a little above his knees, and he took off running back to Jerusalem and back to where he's supposed to go. I think it was Jerusalem. Took off running, and guess what? Ahab was in the chariots, and he beat Ahab back. Mm-hmm. Ahab was in the horse and chariot, and he beat Ahab back. Well, guess what Ahab did? He went home to Jezebel, and he tattletaled. But guess what? He didn't stop all the killing of the prophets of Baal. He was odd, too, I think. Because look what God did. God, well, he shut up. He didn't do anything. You know, he must have said, yeah, the Lord is God. I got to get home and tell Jezebel. And when he got home and told Jezebel, Jezebel goes, what? Well, I'll have that little snippy prophet's head. He won't do this. And so she sent a message back because she's all into her God, Baal, and she's all into her stuff. You know, and so she sends a message to Elijah and says, guess what? By this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like my prophets are, dead. I'm coming after you. So it scared the whatever out of him. And he had just seen the greatest victory, killed all these prophets, standing up for God, let God be God. Ran all that way with the anointing, and one word from that woman scared the fire out of him, and he took off, left his servant here. I don't know. He left his servant, said, you stay here. I'm out of here. And he left, and then finally the Lord says, what you doing here, Elijah? What you doing here? Well, I'm scared and I'm discouraged. I'm running. And he says, kind of like, Elijah, he winds up taking him up into the cave, you know, and showing him that he is really God. But I can get my stories mixed up real easy. But anyway, God did a mighty thing. But after he stood his ground, here came another punch. So sometimes after a great victory, you have to be careful to just go, you know what? Okay, sucker punch me, but I'm going to make it. And Elijah made it. But it says here, just don't quit. Don't quit. If you don't quit, if the devil can't make you quit, you're going to make it. If you make up your mind, I'm going to make it, and you just keep serving God. You just keep. This is a cute little thing here. It says, the mighty oak tree was once a little nut that stood its ground. And you know what? There's times if we're going to come become the mighty oak tree for God, we've just got to stand our ground and say, no, nothing doing, Satan. I'm not backing up. I'm not stopping. Well, look at this sickness. Well, look at that. Nope. I'm not stopping. I'm serving God. The story's told, and a lot of preachers know this little story, but it's a true story. And it's about the, I think his name was Podowalski, something like that, who was the great pianist. And he was getting ready to do a concert and getting everything, you know, ready and back. And the crowd was out there talking. And the little boy was there with his mama, a little nine-year-old boy. And her mama got distracted talking to somebody. And the little boy got up and just went up on stage and sat down at the big Steinway and started playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are. And the crowd went, oh, people started saying, get that kid out of there. I can't believe, where's his mama? What? And people were just, you know, whining and griping. And he heard in the back, and he could hear, and he looked to see what was going on. He threw his coat on real quick, and he ran out on stage, and put his arms around the little boy and started playing a counterpart. And the little boy was playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And so he just started playing a counterpart to it and made a lovely performance. And everybody hushed. And then they started clapping. And it turned from chaos to beauty. And you know, we're that way in life. We're doing our best. And we're just plunking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And somebody go, get her out of here. What's she... You know, and we have criticisms, but Jesus just says, oh, and I didn't tell you that that guy was playing the counterpart, and the whole time he was whispering, and I forgot this part, he was whispering in the little boy's ear, don't stop, son, don't stop, keep playing, and he's playing with him, keep playing, son, keep playing, and you know, life throws us so many curves, mm-hmm. and we're so, oh, we're going to do something for God, and we may be out of line, we may be out of place, we think sometimes, but we just go ahead and go up there and put our little twinkle, twinkle, twinkle little star, and people may criticize us, but Jesus whispers in our heart, keep going, keep going, keep going, don't stop. So to overcome, we got to make a commitment to the Lord, sell out, and get our families, go to church, read your Bible, pray. I haven't talked much about prayer, but prayer is such an important part. It says pray always with all kinds of prayers and supplication. You know, pray in your car, pray in your shower, pray, take time to pray, get in your closet and pray. Whatever it takes, pray with friends. The Bible says where two agree is touching anything, shall it shall be done. I call Mary, since I've taken this infusion, I've called her several times this week, twice. My heart's gone into atrial fib. And I looked, you look on that list of the side effects, heart, changing your heartbeat. And I'm like, I didn't pay attention to it. And I should have paid attention to it. But you know what? All through all things, I'm more than a conqueror. And the Lord is going to help me through all of this. But anyway, we're going to have stuff to overcome. Just know we make bad choices sometimes, just like I did. And we step into it. And guess what? We're going to have to seek God to get out of it, or we're going to walk one day at a time. And he's still going to accomplish his will in us if we'll make commitment, sell out, love him best, keep praying, and just don't quit. Don't quit. Just give it all you've got for God. And when the storm comes, when the bad mouthing comes, sometimes we make a decision other people don't agree with. So they'll give us what for, you know, with it. But know the will of God for what you're supposed to do. And just stay with God. Hang on there. That's one of the things I have down here, ways to overcome the enemy. And I found this looking in some of my papers because I've preached this before. Apparently I've got it in yellow here. It just says, surrender totally to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Sometimes we're double-minded and we don't even know it. Sell out to God. Lay your all on the altar. Repent of sin. Turn away from sin. And I put here, stop sinning. Stop it. If you're doing something you know is wrong, don't say, I'm just going to do it one more time, Lord, today. Well, then you're going to do it one more time tomorrow. You're just going to do it one more time. Stop it.
Are you talking about me speeding?
Oh, no, I wasn't. What, if the shoe fits, baby girl.
The shoe's getting tight.
Yeah. Forgive others. That's a big one. Unforgiveness. And you say, I just can't. What they did was terrible. They don't deserve my forgiveness. Nah, they don't deserve it. But they don't give a flip. You're the one. You need to get it out of your heart because you keep yourself tied to them and you keep yourself upset all the time. So if you forgive them, you release them from yourself and you're free. So then you can let Jesus heal those emotions. And you think, oh, I just can't forgive. I heard someone say it over TV. Someone is on a news thing. Someone had done something to someone in her family. She says, I will never forgive them. Don't ever say those words. Because if you don't forgive others, you can't get forgiven. So you go, you know what they did was heinous. What they did was horrible. But I've got to let it go. And it doesn't mean they were right. Doesn't mean it wasn't a horrible thing. It means I can't always carry this burden. And the story's told. I thought I might want to get it on my cell phone and show everybody. But the story's told by the lady who plays the piano really well. And they travel and sing. I can't think of the name of the family. But I put it on my website. And she said, I saw a woman after a concert. And she was like 89. And she looked so young. And she was so put together and so healthy. She said, I couldn't keep from saying, what's your secret? Which I know she knows the Lord, but what else are you doing? And she said, without hesitation, she said, you know, life is like we're climbing a hill. And she said, when offenses come, it's like I stump over my toe on a rock. And she said, I can stop and pick that rock up. And she said, I have a choice. She said, I can take it and put it in my backpack. And then she said, or I can throw it down. But she said, you keep walking, and then you stump your toe again on another rock, and you pick it up, and you put it in your backpack. And after a while, life becomes really, that mountain becomes really hard to climb because you're carrying so many rocks. And she said, when you stump your toe, pick that rock and look and go, it's not worth it. Throw it down. Just throw it down. Whatever it is. Throw it down, then your journey is a lot easier. You don't have the stress lines on your face so much. You don't stress so much over things. So I'm going, so what are those rocks? All kinds of offenses that you need to forgive. Throw it down. It's not worth it. It's not worth the weight that it's going to put on your life. I thought that was such a good example. Mm-hmm. It's a weight. So the Bible says, lay aside every sin, weight. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. We all have areas that the devil could come and tempt me or you, and we'd go, ha, ha, stupid devil, that ain't going to work. Get out of here. But there's other areas where we're more vulnerable, where something can slip in or slip by, and we have to go, well, what's wrong, Lord? I don't even know what's wrong. Wait, and you pray before, and he goes, right here it is. And for David, here's what he did. He's going, oh, Lord, I've sinned. What's wrong? What can I do? Well, what do you do when you sin? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't think you haven't. Have you ever met anybody that thought they were the bag of chips and all that? and they're above everybody else? Well, listen to this. No, David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from all my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. Hey, that is so important right there. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin as ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. In other words, I deserve to be judged, but, oh God, I ask for mercy. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and sin. My mother conceived me. He's going back and blaming his mama. But he says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden parts, you make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. This is my favorite right here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore. That's what we need in Psalms 23. It says, restore my soul. It says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So many of us have lost our joy because we've let little sins enter here or there that we haven't repented of. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach, I love this, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you. And he goes on and to say, deliver me from blood guiltiness, the God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing of you aloud. I will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. And sacrifices, O God, are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O these, O God, you do not despise. So what a beautiful prayer this is. Just creating me a clean heart. And we can never want to do that because all of sin, we're human, right? And we make mistakes. And doesn't mean he goes and blots our name out when we do some little something wrong. That doesn't it. But it just does your heart good that you go to bed at night or you have your prayer and just say, oh, God, create in me a clean heart. You know, you watch something you shouldn't watch on TV and you caught it because someone else was watching it. So you just sit down and watched it with them and you entered into their sin. So you just say, oh, God, forgive me. One lady said, she told me, she'd say, I see something that bothers me, something I shouldn't see. I just go in the other room, say, oh, God, cleanse that from me. Take it from my mind. I don't want to remember it. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Just take it out of my head. You know, there's times that we need to do that. Create in me a clean heart, oh, God. Renew a right spirit within me. Return the joy. Restore the joy of my salvation. And there's just times that life beats us up, you know. And maybe we haven't sinned, but it saps our joy. And so we just got to, oh, God, I need you. And that's how we overcome, like the guys on the ship that froze mid-ocean. It froze. And what in the world were they going to do? It took them 1 year to get back. And it's amazing. The book's called Endurance. If you're a book reader, I'd say go get that book. It has not one thing. It never mentions God one time. Which surprises me very much. But you know what? Frozen mid-ocean and a ship that the ice started pushing and breaking that. They had to get everything off. Had to get their dogs off, their boats off. Pardon me, everything off that boat. And live on the ice. And make it from one ice patch to another ice patch. Till eventually they made it to an island called Elephant Island, if I understand right. And there, those men dug in, and he had took one of the boats and one of the men, and they had what they call hush, with some kind of fish. That's how they would eat. And if they could catch a seal, that was really good eating for them, if they could get a seal. But they, every man lived. They had doctors on there. They were going to the South Pole was the expedition. They had photographers. And so this book is full of these pictures of these men. And you know what they're doing in the boat? They're putting on plays while they're caught there. They're putting on plays. It amazes me. I'd be sitting there going, God, you know, where are you? But these men endured. It's called endurance. And every one of them, they stayed, and he went back, and he made it back to where they started from, that where they landed on the island that he started from. They didn't start from there. It was sheer cliffs. Somehow they got up and around, and he and this man, and he said, when people saw us, they started running from us. They didn't know of me. He said, I'd lost so much weight. My beard had grown for a year. You know, and anyway, and Shackelford was the guy who led it. And he tried to get back to these men. And he got another ship that started freezing in the ice. They turned around and they went back and they got another ship from Spain. They ordered the ship from Spain and they got through to those men. By the time they all got back, it was a year by the time that boat froze in the ocean. And the people said, we gave you up for dead. But those men endured. And praise God, we're going to make it. The rapture's going to happen. And there's going to be those of us who have endured. It says, And the scripture says, be faithful unto death. My husband did that. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you what? A crown of life. Amen and amen. This today was, there's so many obstacles today. You know why? But we endured, and we did it. And we're standing here today, and guess what? Y'all, some of you watching, you're going to endure, and you're going to make it. Because you got the right things, and the main thing. Know Jesus, repent, forgive, pray, read your Bible, and be in church. I think those are the main things. Let God talk to you. Learn His voice. Because some Christians are out doing stupid, goofy things. Really, they are. They don't know. They think they're on assignment for God, but they're not hearing the Lord's voice because you got to run that through some tests. You need to learn the Lord's voice. Those that didn't grow up in church, and you started as adults, and you're starting out, find the missing pieces, learn the voice of the Lord, learn the difference in God's voice, the devil's voice, and your own voice. That is like ground level essential. Or else you may make the rapture, but you're out doing a bunch of stuff and not being useful for the Lord because you're hearing the devil say do this or do that, and you think it's God. I know I was there. And I had to learn the voice of the Lord. It's not pushy. It's not hard. The things He gives you to do, He's going to make it easy. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to be with you to do it. And what can I say? Just make up your mind. Guess what? Whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes, I'm going to make it.
You know, you said something a while ago, Sister Judy, that reminded me of an incident I had last week. Joe had gotten me a little vase of flowers on Valentine's Day, and when I got ready to go home that evening from the newspaper office, I set them on the newspaper stand outside to lock the door, and a little puff of wind came, blew them off, and broke that vase. And so in a little bit, I was headed over to Jen's to get juice for the day, and something was sticking me in my foot, and I took my shoe off, and there was this teeny tiny little piece of glass that had, when that hit the concrete, it went up in my shoe. And I was just reminded of how, I mean, it was so tiny you could hardly see it, but I was just reminded, the Lord dropped this in my spirit, how a little sin can make a hurt in our life.
Yeah.
And we just have to get those out.
It makes walking hard.
Oh, yes, it does. And every time I get a little pebble in my shoe, I'm reminded of that. And, I mean, it can be hardly any bigger than a grain of salt, but you can feel it in your foot, and you've got to get it out. And that's what we've got to do with sin in our life. We've got to get it out. It may seem like a little thing, but it'll hurt us.
All right. And the rock of offense.
Uh-huh.
When we stump our toe, people come up and say things they shouldn't. That's what happens. People do.
Yeah.
When we're offended at our pastor, we're offended at this one and that one and the other. See, the devil causes offense. And if you can be offended, you will be. Neva is one of the most unoffendable persons I know. People can insult her, and she says, well, thank you, and takes it as a compliment and goes on. She don't even know she's been offended.
That's right.
Because she is just not open to it. And she's just not open to offense, because offense is a rock that you carry in your backpack that is heavy. And then you've always got to deal with it, and you're trying to do life, and here it's like heavy. Why is everything so heavy? Well, empty your backpack.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Overcoming. If you missed any part of this lesson today that Sister Judy brought, go back and watch it on Facebook. Or if you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, send them to our website, therockchristianmusic.com. Have them click on the Hour of Power and then go to Monday, and they can listen to it there. Or maybe you're traveling down the road and you don't want to go to Facebook, but you want to listen on the internet. You can do it. Thank you, Sister Judy, for coming in and sharing with us. Overcoming. We got to remember that. It's all we have to do is turn it over to God, and He'll help us overcome. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Sister Judy, have a blessed day, and we will see you in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.
Love your ride today at